I have the pleasure of introducing a good friend of mine. His name is Kevin Mast, and he is the pastor at Hope City Church, which is in downtown Barrie. And I had the privilege of first meeting him about probably about 8 years ago when I first came to Barrie, because he was the youth and young adults guy at Emmanuel. And I just wanted to hear what was going on in the city with regards to youth and young adults. And it was just at that point, I just knew we were going to be good friends. And so 2 years ago, we started meeting together about once a month to talk about mission and what does mission look like. And it was just so exciting to hear his story and journey with his church. And I don't want to steal any of his story, but I'm excited and truly blessed that we get to hear what he has to share with us this morning. So we're going to invite Kevin to come up, and then we're going to pray for him. All right, this is Kevin. Everybody say hi, Kevin.
Hi.
We're friendly. All right. Dear Lord Jesus, we say thank you for this opportunity to hear your word this morning from Kevin. Lord God, we ask that you would just, Holy Spirit, whoop him and just guide him, lead him, direct him. May he just sense your presence with words and ideas. And Lord, may we sense your presence just stirring something in us too as we practice listening to what it is your Spirit is saying.
Yeah.
And so, Lord, this time is yours. I know this whole time is yours, but we really are setting aside this time right now to listen to your word specifically. So, Lord, help us to listen. Protect us from distraction. Be with Kevin. In your name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Jen. So, my mission this morning was to make a good impression. That was my mission. Are you going to sit right there? Over here. Okay, so I'm used to speaking to groups of people during the week and on Sunday evenings at Hope downtown in shorts and sandals or jeans to people who are often street-involved community. They live in rooming houses or they live in tents sometimes or they have no place to live. So often many of the people who I work with on a daily basis or on a weekly basis are marginalized. So often their clothes don't fit either, or they haven't been washed in a month or whatever. And we just love each other, and it's a wonderful community where everybody belongs. And we're going to talk about how we got there. We're going to talk about the mission. Do you guys like stories? I'm going to tell some stories about how we got to where we are and what God did in my life. And what I find is I see God doing extraordinary things in the lives of our community at Hope Downtown. I see God doing extraordinary things in the lives of individual people that are connecting with us. And you probably see that too. But often, like when I grew up in the evangelical church in the suburbs, in the middle class, you know, we pray these simple little prayers like, Lord, give me a good parking spot when I get to church. We pray these good little prayers, and we don't really expect God to really answer our prayers as much as we should. And what I want you to remember today is this, that we're seeing extraordinary things happen. So in our context, extraordinary becomes ordinary. So let me tell you what I mean by that, because I would like for you to experience the extraordinary in your life more and more so that it just becomes an ordinary part of your life when God shows up. And then that's the impetus, that's the impulse that sends us out on mission more and more. And so I'll tell you some stories about that. Just a few weeks ago, about a month ago or so, we did this community dinner, and this gentleman comes out. He's one of these guys that wears ill-fitting clothes, long, greasy hair, you know, great guy. I love him. And we're having a sharing time, and then we have a dinner, and then we break up in these little prayer groups, and we're teaching people how to pray. And they're praying for each other. And so we had the sharing time. Hey, what's Jesus doing in your life? Do we have any answers to prayer? And he didn't share. And then we were having dinner, and I sat down, and I chatted with him for a few minutes. And I said, what's going on? And he goes, oh, yeah, I got a place to live. I got an apartment. I'm like, why didn't you share that? Like, we prayed for that last week, and this week you have a place to live. That's amazing. That's an answer to prayer. He said this. He said, well, yeah, of course. God answered his prayer. Of course God answered his prayer. Of course he did. So the extraordinary just becomes ordinary for us as we live out on mission. So how did we get here? Let me tell you a little bit about our story about how we got here. And so we're going to weave some stories through this very familiar passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 about being Christ's ambassadors. And it starts at verse 14 where it says, it is Christ's love that compels us. It's Christ's love that compels us. So in my life, this is what happened. Jen mentioned that I used to work at another church, and my wife and I chose to move on from there. And we were taking a couple of months trying to figure out what we were going to do next. So in the normal daily rhythm of life, there's a phrase to remember, a daily rhythm of life. I found myself downtown in a coffee shop for some reason, the same day, the same time, every single week. So there I was. That's not the coffee shop. That's our new coffee shop. But we were there. Thank you. So we were there the same time every single week. And what I discovered as I was just trying to have my cup of coffee, waste some time, read a book, is that I was seeing these people around me, the same people, every single week. And so one day, you know, a smile, a head nod turns into the next week some small talk. And a few weeks down the road, some more small talk, learning somebody's name. And because you see the same people every week in that daily rhythm, somebody would take some time out and actually come and sit at my table for a couple of minutes and chat with me. It was funny because one person in particular, she was a practicing witch. She found out about, well, several months later, she never asked me about my life, but I kept asking her about her life. And she would talk to me every time I came in the coffee shop. She'd come and sit down and chat with me. And then one time we were at this community dinner, and this other lady introduced her to me and said, "Oh, do you know Pastor Kevin?" And she looked at me, "Pastor?" It was great. It was great. But we were trying to discover, my wife and I, during that time, what it was that we were going to do. What it was we were going to do with our lives, where God was calling us to be. And I began to feel this burden for the people in that coffee shop. And God had me on a journey at the time in my heart, in my life as well, about kingdom mission, moving the kingdom forward for Jesus Christ here in Barrie or wherever we find ourselves. And so I was on this journey of what does it mean to make disciples? And I began to ask that question, like, God, what would it mean to do mission work here in this coffee shop? I don't need to be a pastor on staff at a church. What would it mean to just be here in this coffee shop and to love these people? And he was growing this love in my heart for these people. Have you ever asked God to help you to love somebody that you see? Let me ask you this. Do you think of somebody in your life right now, at school, in your neighborhood, at work, in your context, in your daily rhythms of life, at the coffee shop you stop at every morning? Can you think of somebody who just needs a touch of love? And maybe somebody who's a little bit different than you? So I began to make friendships with these people, and it was becoming very clear to me that I could be a presence for Jesus in this coffee shop. And so I discovered that the first part of a love that compels us into action, we'll talk a little bit more about that, is a love that is just being present. Are you present in your neighborhood? Are you present in your workplace? Is Christ's presence brought to you through this place? You just saw a moment ago a picture on the screen of a coffee shop. We began in that coffee shop just simply by meeting with people that turned into a small group, that turned into a church that it is today. And now, 6 years later, almost 6 years later, we run a coffee shop. We have brand new disciples of Jesus Christ, brand new followers of Jesus Christ, who are in discipleship programs with us and receiving supports from us, who are running this coffee shop in downtown Barrie as an outreach to other people and learning social skills and learning job skills. It's pretty cool. That's extraordinary. That's when the extraordinary things of God become ordinary, isn't it? That's extraordinary that we would be where we are today. Last week, I was just spending a few hours there at the coffee shop. Last week or the week before, and I was sitting outside. It was a beautiful day, up the street and not far from us, I don't want to scare you from coming down there, but there were people, there was some prostitution happening, there were some people buying and selling drugs, and I was sitting with a girl who I'd known for about 5 years, off and on, just have seen her at community events, and and we've bumped into each other on the street. So you get to know people in the downtown street-involved community, and she's trying to recover from addiction herself, and she's trying to keep herself from selling her body anymore. I want to be careful about how much I say. 5 years ago, I wouldn't be caught talking to her on the street. I remember one time I was talking to a girl on the street, and I stopped and chatted with her just in the context of ministry downtown. And we stopped, we're chatting on the corner for a minute, and this police car pulls around the corner and stops and slows down and looks, I'll see you later. That would make a great headline. But the truth is that now this young lady calls me her pastor. And so the truth is that I don't really have a choice. And if you are a follower of Jesus, you don't really have a choice either about how you live your life, about being present, for being compelled by the love of Christ. When Jesus shows up, extraordinary things begin to happen. And when we begin to live, when we begin to love like Jesus, the things that seem extraordinary at first just start to become ordinary for us. And people see that, and it starts to become ordinary for them as well. And here's why. It's because Christ's love compels us. So that word compels, what it really means in the original language, it means to control or to restrict. And you can think of it like this. If you drove here today, you drove down the road, and you drove on what side of the road? You drove on the right side of the road. Hopefully you stayed between the lines. Hopefully you stayed within 10% of the speed limit or so. Right? It's the law of the land that causes us to stay within our lane of traffic. It's the law of the land that causes us to stay within the speed limit. It's the law of the land that causes us to pay our taxes. And in the same way, the love of Christ is the compelling, controlling, restricting factor in our lives. If you are a follower of Jesus, if you are a disciple of Jesus Christ, you are an agent for the kingdom of God, because it is the love of Christ that has invaded your heart. And I hope that's true for you. And it's the love of Jesus Christ that is now controlling your behavior and your attitude and your mission in the world. You are already living on mission. Christ's love is the law of our land. It is the law of the kingdom of God. If we are followers of Jesus, it is Christ's love that is the governing authority in our lives as we live for him day after day. And so this compelling love of Christ changes how we become present in our communities, in our jobs, in our workplaces, in our social spheres, and in our leisure activities. And we become available to be used by God. We become present to be used by God, and we become available to be used by God to reach people with his love. I spend time with people every day who are difficult to love. But when God's love became the driving, controlling, compelling force of my life, extraordinary things began to happen. And a lot of people look at our lives and our ministry in downtown Barrie. They go, wow, that's so exciting. Like, look what's going on. That's amazing. It's so extraordinary. But to us, this has just become ordinary. About 6 weeks ago, something extraordinary happened that has become so ordinary for us. And it's taken over 5 years of seeing the same lady over and over again on the street, at community events, selling her body to buy drugs and selling drugs and learning her name and then learning her real name. And saying hello when we pass on the street. And about 6 or 7 weeks ago, for the very first time, she walked into a Hope gathering, a church service at our little church gathering in downtown Barrie. And it was amazing to see her there. And I wanted so desperately to connect with her and to welcome her. And she ran out of the building at the end of the service in tears before I had a chance to. But then she came back. And she came to a women's group, and the women began to connect with her and began to find out her needs and find out about her life. And she began to open up and share a little bit. And she told me that the first night that she showed up at church, first night that she showed up 6 or 7 weeks ago at our church gathering, that very night, her apartment, which in street language we would call a trap house, they sell drugs and there's prostitution and so on that happens there. Her apartment caught fire and burned down that very night. And she said to me, she said, Kevin, I really think God's trying to get my attention. She knows that she has to stop the way she's been living and start living for God. And she told me that Jesus is her Savior. She told me that she is trusting in Him for the forgiveness of her sins and that she has new hope. And she even asked me about baptism. You have a baptism service coming up. We're having one tonight. And we're baptizing several people. And some of them are coming from such places of brokenness. But they've seen God invade their lives and invade their hearts. And we've seen how the extraordinary love of God has just become an ordinary part of their life. Verse 15. Sorry, God's love is the compelling force in our lives, and we have to make that love present, available, and we have to be intentional. Verse 15 says this: He, Jesus, He died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for Him who died for them and was raised again. And I hope you know this truth in your life. I hope you know that wherever you are at in your life, whatever has happened, whatever pain you face, I hope you know that it's the result of sin. I often call it that spiritual cancer that separates us from God, that we are born with. The Bible says we are all born with it. For because one man sinned, all have sinned. We're born with a spiritual cancer. And that the only cure for that is that it needs to be washed away. It needs to be forgiven. A penalty, a price has to be paid. And Jesus paid that price on the cross for you and for me. And I hope that you know that truth today. I hope you know, I pray that you know that your sins are forgiven, that you can place your faith in Jesus Christ and say, yeah, I receive your forgiveness. And because you rose back to life 3 days later, I want to receive that new life. We have to be intentional with this message. If you know that, then you have to be intentional with this message as well. How are you being intentional with the love that God has given you? Listen, when you read the Gospels and you see the ministry of Jesus and the mission that He lived out, when we talk missionally about living on mission, who do you see Jesus going to first? Now, for me, in my context downtown, it's often the people who we see suffering the most with addiction and mental health issues and poverty issues. But sometimes it's just the person who's in front of you right now when you're present, when you're available, and when you're learning to be intentional. Just this morning, when I arrived here, I know that Pastor Jen's heart is to reach the community around us and to live on mission as well. And I thought of that as I arrived here this morning in my car, and I parked over there by the fence, and I was going to walk in, and this dog starts barking from the other side of the fence. So I'm like, oh man, is it big enough to get over the fence? Like, and then I hear this lady, like calling out to the dog, and I don't know if she comes here to this church or not. I just know this. I wish I had a dog cookie on me. What if we just started doing that every week? And that lady, if she's not here now, would be like, wow, man, those church people, they love my dog. And they'll give him a cookie every week. Small acts of intentional service. Who would Jesus go to first? Who is in your life? What face or name comes to mind when I ask you who needs a touch of God's extraordinary love? Who can you be present and available to? Who can you be intentional with in your life? And maybe right now God is placing a face or a name, a coworker or a neighbor or somebody at the gym or at school. Maybe God's placing a face or a name on your mind, on your heart right now. Who in your life should marvel at the extraordinary love of God that has so obviously become ordinary in your life? Jesus said, we shall be known by our love. So some of you know our story at Hope City Church. In fact, I came in this morning and somebody at the door told me our story. She said, hey, I know you from the coffee shop. You were always talking about Jesus and you had a little group going there. and now that's grown into Hope City Church. So we're going to do some rapid fire pictures just to bring you up to speed. Here it started at that coffee shop, which became a base of operations. Just me sitting there talking to people one-on-one. God used little old me to start gathering people around. People just started coming because, I don't know, they wanted a cup of coffee or they wanted a word from the Lord. I don't know. God just brought people, and that turned into a small group. That's at the back of the coffee shop. We almost took over the whole coffee shop at one point. There's no way, like that person said to me this morning when I came in, there's no way you could walk in that coffee shop on a Thursday evening and not hear the gospel and not hear what we were studying about those nights. Extraordinarily, God led us to another meeting space. Here it is. He provided miraculously everything we needed to start a church gathering. That's our very first church gathering where 20 people showed up in that room. That week we had to run out and try to find tables and chairs because they had nothing. The most important thing, the coffee maker. That grew into a larger group meeting each week on the other side of that blue wall in that gym. So a room about the size of this one. And that grew and grew. And at one point we changed venues and we grew into a movie theater, which wasn't so great for us because, you know, I want to see people's faces. We don't want to put on a show. We want to sit around tables and chairs. We want to be in relationship with people. And because of God's extraordinary love working in our lives, becoming ordinary, we want to be in relationship and in community and invite people to belong with us. And so the movie theater didn't work out so well, but we stayed there a while, and God did some amazing things there. And then while we were there, we launched our first full-time presence in downtown Barrie, the Hope Center. And that is where our coffee shop is now, because we've expanded that into our new space, which looks like this. And so that's right across from the bus terminal in downtown Barrie on Mary Street, and we're currently expanding into the space next door. This fall, that's going to open up with help from the Barrie Christian Council, One Church Barrie, churches like yours that are a member of that council, of that One Church Barrie, are helping us with some financial contributions and some help to open that up as a full-time counseling center to go where nobody else is going. And that's to enter into relationship with people on a daily basis to give them help, to overcome the trauma in their lives that underlie their addictions. And we're also putting in a pilot project now for some beds for people to stay in an emergency supported transitional way. And for us, we go, yeah, because God just provides these things and God just does these things. So often the extraordinary just becomes ordinary for us. And often it starts in places like this. This is our barbecue downtown. We call it Flippin' Fridays. And we get about 150 to 200 people every single Friday, and we just serve them food and have a great barbecue. It's a great family barbecue time, and we build relationships with people. If we get one person to come out to a program or one person we can build a relationship with, I find this is actually our church. People often ask me, how big is your church, Kevin? Our church is about 5,000 or 6,000 people, but about 75 show up on Sunday. And so we have other groups like this one on Fridays where we get another couple of hundred people, and we're able to sit down with people and pray with people and hear about their needs and talk with people in a present, available, and intentional way. And so they keep coming for the food, but also for the spiritual food. And some people not so much, just give me a burger, let me get out of here, right? And that's fine too. But we're building relationships, we're building trust, and they know that they can come to us. And so we continue to build that relationship with them. We have opportunities for you. If you have a small group or as a church or a couple of you want to come down, just on Friday night, am I allowed to say this? I'm doing a commercial. On Friday night, we had another church come out, another partner church, a small group came and said, we want to serve. So we did a devotional with them. We talked a little bit about living on mission with them. And they served, and they did a stellar job. Some of them are really gifted at just spooning out potato salad. And others are really gifted at stopping and talking to people and starting conversations and praying with people. And maybe your small group, maybe your Bible study, maybe some of your youth group wants to do that and get some exposure and get some training and experience and some inspiration from what we're doing, and we'd love to have you do that. We do other things as well. We go outside of the church, and we do things like Soul Food Sundays, where we go to a rooming house community and we bring meals to them, and we sit down and we have meals with them. We do sex worker outreach, we do meal programs, we do community dinners. What is this? That's our Thursday evening dinner that I was talking about earlier. We get about 35 to 45 people every Thursday evening there, and people come, and it's a community dinner. And one day I was just frustrated one Thursday evening. I was just so frustrated, and I'm like, nothing's going right, and everything's going wrong, and all these people, it's like herding cats, and I just give up. I'm not going to do anything intentional tonight. And somebody came to me, a street-involved person who lives with despair and depression, who lives with addiction, and he came to me, and he said, when are we going to pray? I'm like, oh, no, we're not going to pray tonight. We're just going to, like, let it fizzle out and close down. It's fine. We don't have to pray so intentionally every night. He goes, no, Kevin, that's why I come. Oh, okay. So it was a huge, huge lesson for me that night. So this is a diverse community. And if you think about Acts chapter 2, and you start about verse 42, you have a group of people after Jesus was glorified and went to heaven, the first disciples of Jesus. And it says this, it says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, breaking of bread and prayer. And that's what we're doing at evenings like this every single week. We're breaking bread together and praying together and talking about following Jesus together and sharing our lives together, often with people different than ourselves. Who is in your life that you could have a meal with, just fellowship with, a neighbor you can invite over, be present, available, and intentional with? When it's Christ's love that compels us, and we learn to no longer live for just ourselves, we give ourselves away for Jesus' sake and for others' sake, and that's extraordinary because that's not normal in our world. And people respond to that when we do that. But just like Jesus giving up his life on the cross for you and for me, his love lived out through our lives has to be sacrificial. It has to be sacrificial as well. The extraordinary becomes ordinary when we are compelled by a love for others that is present, available, intentional, and sacrificial. What are you willing to give up or to give to someone else so that they would see Jesus in you? One of the things that we're doing on those Thursday nights is we are teaching people to serve one another. And so now we have brand new followers of Jesus who are facilitating small prayer groups. We have people who come in and we don't have servers. We just ask who wants to serve tonight. And people step up and serve, and they serve one another. We have a little jar of change. And we ask people to, hey, if you have something, if you have a toonie, if you have a quarter, throw it in there, you know, and share with one another. And we've used that in that group to buy diapers for somebody, to buy formula for somebody, one time to put somebody in a hotel room to get them off the street and out of sex trafficking. God just takes those pieces of change when we are sacrificial, and he multiplies that for his kingdom work. It's extraordinary, but for us it's become pretty ordinary. Do you see a need among you, or is there a need that you know of in your circles and that comes to mind that you can meet? Or maybe a few of you together can meet, and just for the sake of love. When we opened up our Higher Grounds Coffee House, this older gentleman began to come in every day, and we started to get to know him a little bit. He's a little disheveled, and he's quite a bit shy, and he struggled to make eye contact or to make small talk at first. And as we learned about life, we heard about his trauma, we heard about his addictions, we heard about how his family wanted nothing to do with him, how his daughter had cut him off from his grandchildren. We just took an interest in his life and began to love him, and we would serve him coffee, and because sometimes he wouldn't come in with enough money, we would send some meals home with him so that he could just warm up those meals, and we always tell him these were made with love, and you'll be able to taste the love if you don't come back for more, and we'll give you more. And our goal, as Christ's love compels us, is not to invite people to church. Our goal is to enter into a relationship with people, and as we do that, to invite them into community. And so I don't remember anybody, and I've asked around, I don't remember anybody ever inviting him to church, but one day, he showed up at church. And he began coming out regularly, and sometimes because of his anxiety, he couldn't sit in a crowd. He'd be at the back wall away from everybody else, and some days he couldn't stay for the whole service. He'd have to get up and he'd have to walk out because of his anxiety and his depression. And about a month ago, as his mother was transitioning into a hospice for the final days of her life, he said to me, "I'm ready." I said, "You're ready? What are you ready for?" And he was talking about getting baptized. Now, last week, his mother passed away, and I don't know that he's going to get baptized tonight or not. And I know that he's still struggling, but a year ago, 8 months ago, 6 months ago, if somebody offended him or looked at him the wrong way, or if he wasn't feeling well, he would run away. We wouldn't see him for a month. But when his mother passed away, he showed up. He showed up the next day. And we have a retired pastor on staff with us who is on our board, who does a prayer group with him, who dropped everything to be sacrificial, to drive into downtown Barrie from Angus late at night just to sit with him and be with him the night that his mother passed away, and to wait for the corner with him. That's sacrificial love. And the next morning he showed up again. I get to see God changing him from the inside out as he's being transformed by the renewing of his mind, because God's extraordinary love has already invaded his heart. And who's in your life that needs a touch of God's extraordinary love? Who's in your life that is hard to love? Because honestly, when I first met this guy, I didn't get along with him really well. And sometimes I need to pray for God to give me more love. So I've had to learn this lesson the hard way. Verse 16 says this: "So from now on, we don't look at people. We don't regard anyone from a worldly point of view." Have you ever asked God to show you somebody in your life the way that he sees? You know, that person that's hard to get along with. That difficult boss, or that difficult coworker, or that brother or sister, or that difficult pastor. Not your pastor. When at Hope, when we say, "Is there anybody in your life that's difficult to love?" It's, if you don't know who it is, it's probably you. It's me. Have you ever asked God to show you people the way that he sees people? That's what I did in the coffee shop almost 6 years ago. And look what God has done. He's taken his extraordinary love and his missional movement in this world, and he's made it just an ordinary way of life for many, many other people who connect with us now. I'm not giving myself credit. I'm giving God all the credit and all the glory for that. Some of us need to ask God to open our eyes to the people and the needs around us. And when we do, we will begin to see that so many people around us have not experienced true love ever before. They do not know what love really means, or they have this distorted view of love because the world says this is what love looks like. But God says, "No, my love is present right now for you. You just need to reach out and respond to it. My love is available to you. My love is intentional, because God says, I am love. I created you with a purpose. Before I even created the world, Ephesians 1 says, I had a plan for you to be holy and blameless in my sight, to adopt you as sons and daughters. All we need to do is respond." And then God's kind of love is sacrificial, and our kind of love needs to be sacrificial. About a year and a half ago, when our church was gathering in the theater, two gentlemen walked into the theater during our worship time together. And they came and they stood and watched, and I was standing at the back and I saw them. And before the whole worship set was over, before I got up to speak, they walked out. I'm not offended. So I didn't even get to meet them. So next week, one of them came back. And I got to introduce myself. I got to chat with him. And I found out that what had happened was, being in the movie theater, we were present and we were available. And being there, they had come to see a movie, but they heard our music, so they came in. But they had a movie ticket, so they left and went to the movie. So this young man came back again. And again. And again. And God just got a hold of his heart as we included him in community, and we didn't judge him for the relationship that he was in with this other man. We just accepted him. At the beginning of all our services, we like to say, you belong, no matter where you come from, no matter what walk of life you come from, you belong here. You don't have to believe what I believe. You belong in community with us. And he began to fit in, and he began to experience a love from God expressed through his people. And some changes started happening in his life. He left that relationship. He moved out. He got his own apartment. He's been in this journey of healing. It's difficult. It's still difficult. He began taking Bible college courses. A couple of weeks ago, I went to a long-term care facility and an old age home and sat in on a Bible study that he was leading as he's living his mission on life to some of the most marginalized people in our city. And I was so blessed. We come from completely different walks of life, but he's asked me to disciple him. I was meeting him for coffee recently, and he said, you know, I've never had a father, I've never had a dad, but you're like a dad to me. I'm like, oh, don't put that on me. It's too much pressure. But there's so many people around us that have not been parented and need love. Are you willing to sacrifice some time for somebody in your life who may not have experienced that kind of love before? We had an opportunity to simply love this young man, and God transformed and is continuing to transform his life. This is what's happened. Verse 17 and 18 says this: therefore, if anyone is in Christ, and this young man is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone and the new is here. All this is from God. He is a new creation. And if you're trusting in Jesus, you are a new creation. I am a new creation because we are trusting in Jesus. And all this is from God. We cannot manufacture this. We don't even need to try hard. We just need to love. We just need to be present and available and intentional and sacrificial. Warren Wiersbe, one of my favorite authors, writes this: ministry, you can think of this, mission takes place when divine resources meet human needs through loving channels. When divine resources, not your love, not what you can do in somebody's life, when God's extraordinary love meets the needs in front of you through you. You and I are supposed to be those loving channels. Verse 20 says this: we are Christ's ambassadors. It is Christ's love that compels us to become his ambassadors. We have an embassy in downtown Barrie. You have an embassy of the kingdom here. You have an embassy of the kingdom wherever it is that you live and do life in your normal daily rhythms of life. How are you being an ambassador for the kingdom of God? I'm going to leave you with this question, and we're going to respond. How is God asking you to make his extraordinary love as part of your ordinary daily rhythms of life, to reach the people that God has placed in your life?
So we're going to respond in prayer, and maybe God has put somebody on your heart, on your mind. Maybe you can think of a name or think of a face or think of your workplace or your school. Maybe you're inspired and you're thinking of new ways to love, to be available, to be present, to be intentional. Maybe you know that God has placed those people in your life and you haven't been loving them in a way that represents Jesus well. Maybe you're realizing that there's a sense of pride or a sense of selfishness as you go through your daily life, and right now you're realizing, because God is placing it on your heart gently, that you need to respond more lovingly to that person in your life. And maybe you want to confess that to the Lord this morning. There are prayer rails here, and you can come up as we respond in musical worship once again. You can come and make it right with the Lord, and you can come, you can commit to the Lord your time, your resources, your life. Or maybe you are a person who hasn't really responded to God's extraordinary love yourself yet, and you want to respond to that love, and for the first time you're like, yeah, I don't know that I've received His forgiveness. I don't know that I have His new life that you're talking about, of living on mission for Him, and you want to come up and say, yeah, I want to give my life to You, Jesus, today. And you can do that right now. Or you can come and you can recommit your life right now. And Pastor Jen and others are here to pray with you as well. And I'd be happy to talk with you and pray with you after as well. What is God laying on your heart? Let's just commit that to the Lord together right now. Maybe you want to bow your head and close your eyes where you are, and I'll pray for you. Maybe as we respond and worship together, you feel compelled to come forward, and don't resist the Spirit of God reaching out to you today. And Lord Jesus, that is my prayer, that You would move us out of our comfort zones, that You would move us out of our chair, or out of our comfort zone with that person at work, or at the gym, or in our neighborhood, that You would move us. That, Lord, You would compel us in such a way that Your love would be the controlling factor of our lives, so that others around us would see and experience Your love and catch a glimpse of Your kingdom and be drawn to that. So, Lord Jesus, Spirit of God, move in us to will and to act according to Your good purposes. Use us, use this church, use our lives for Your glory, for Your kingdom. Let us just even experience Your love in a new, extraordinary way right now as we seek to worship You and connect with You musically and in worship and in prayer. Let us experience Your love in a fresh, new way that is overwhelming, that would fill our cups and overflow into the lives of the people around us. God, move us out of our comfort zone to where it is that You are leading, to live on mission for You. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.